Oh, God bless you, sis.
So I'll shut up.
But
I just,
hallelujah. I think this ought to be their home church, don't y'all? Amen. Genesis chapter number 26. I ought to just give the altar call after these good testimonies. Hey, I'm glad we got a church where we got a testimony. Somebody help. I said, I'm glad we got a church. The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'm glad we have liberty in the Lord. Somebody got a little critical one time. I get so tired of critical spirits. If you ain't got nothing better to do than criticize, you're in the wrong place. If you want to find something wrong around here, you can. I could point them out for you, but I'm not going to. Amen. What if we started examining your faults? Somebody said, well, I don't think it's right for a woman to stand up and speak in church. Oh, shut up. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if it wasn't for a woman, most of us wouldn't be here. None of us would be. But I'm talking about being saved and being in church. Amen. Most of us that know God know Him because of the influence of a godly woman. So I ain't apologizing for nary one of them. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter number 26. I'm going to preach real quick. It wasn't a joke. Amen. I have struggled all morning. I started off with two messages on my heart. Then in my office this morning, Brother Ken, I wound up with three messages on my heart. I sat in my office. Now, I'm a very, very spiritual person. If you don't believe that, ask Brother Chris. We spent a lot of time. I'm a very, very spiritual person. So in my office this morning, I got very, very spiritual. And I laid all three outlines on my desk. And I said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me what to do. Lord, I ain't got a clue which way to go. And the Holy Spirit said, they're all good. Pick one. I got in here this morning and Ashley said, Dad, I thought about singing that song, Waiting in the Water. And the Holy Spirit said, there it is. In Genesis chapter number 26, you know, if you've read your Bible much, you know the story of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac is the promised son of Abraham. God tells Abraham back when he's a young man that he's going to... Can y'all hear me okay in the back? All right, God promises Abraham that he's going to multiply his seed, and year after year after year goes on, and they don't have a child. And then Abraham tries to fix the problem by the advice of his wife Sarah. He tries to fix the problem himself and has a child by her handmaid. What was her name, Hagar? Yeah. And so Ishmael is born. Ishmael was a baby born outside the will of God. By the way, you say, who is Ishmael? ISIS? The terrorist and the trouble that we're fighting today. One mistake led on for thousands of years. But finally, in his old age, how old was Sarah? 90? Is that right? Was she 90 years old? Can you imagine having a baby at 90? My wife is 40-something years old. She'll have a birthday next week, and if she called me while I was in Elbow Lake, Minnesota, and said, darling, we're going to have a baby, y'all'd have to bury me in Elbow Lake, Minnesota, because that's where I'd fall over dead right there. I can't imagine being 90 years old and having a baby. But at 90, Isaac, that promised son, comes along. In Genesis chapter number 26, we're going to look at one verse of Scripture this morning. Now, Isaac's come on the scene and Abraham has died. Isaac is supposed to fulfill or carry on the work of God. Are you listening? I want our children to carry on the work of God that He started here. I do not want this ministry to end with me. And by the way, I'm not this ministry. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't want this thing to die with us. I want it to perpetuate if the Lord tarries, and for this thing to just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and God get bigger and bigger and bigger. I'd like to know if the Lord tarries 50 years from now, our children are running this show and it's still old time worship and it's still King James. Amen. I'd like to know that we could look from heaven 50 years from now, Brother Ken, and everything's just like it was, but bigger. Amen. But things happen when people die. The Bible said in verse number 18, look at it with me. And like I said, I'll do my best to be quick. The Bible said, and Isaac digged, say the next word with me.
Again.
He digged what?
Again,
the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. He's talking about the names of the well. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. This morning, I'm going to preach to you on this simple thought. Let's dig some wells. Let's dig some wells. Isaac should be congratulated or commended here for his effort. Isaac had a burden. Isaac had a vision. Here's what Isaac said. Hey guys, y'all may not know this, but I remember back in the day when there was good water here. I remember when there was water here. I'm going to give you three little thoughts this morning. Number one, I want us to look at the drought in Isaac's time. At the beginning of the chapter, we find out that there is a famine in the land. You know what a famine is? We would call it a depression. Or a drought, a time of no rain. I remember several years ago, we fool with horses and ride horses. I don't have any right now, but I had some of my own at the house. And I don't know, maybe Chris, three, four summers ago, we had that drought. There was no hay. People were waking up to go to work in the morning and looking out across their pasture, and where they had two horses, now they had four. People were coming in the middle of the night and leaving horses in people's pasture because there was no rain and there was no hay to feed the horses. So the horses were starving and people couldn't afford to keep them because of the drought. A friend of mine went on a trail ride in Talladega, Alabama, and they camped out. They went for 2 days riding and camping. When they got back, there was three horses tied to his trailer because of a drought. In a time of drought, people are in want and people are in need. And during this time in Isaac's life, it's a time of famine and it's a time of drought. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but America is in a spiritual drought. It is dry. Hey, what we're doing this morning, Brother Tommy's shouting, these people coming to the altar, this world looks at us and said, y'all are crazy. Anybody act like that and believes like that, they got to be a cult. But this bunch out in the world's perfectly normal. We're living in a day when churches can be sued because a pastor refuses to marry two men. Don't die on me. And they call us crazy. Don't ask me to marry two men. Don't ask me to marry two women. You say, we'll sue you. It's all right, we're covered. It's in our bylaws and constitution. Amen. But we're living in a day when that's normal. Well, it got quiet in here. I'm saying it's dry. I'm watching a political platform in America. I listen to the Democratic side and I listen to the Republic side and they've got their points and they've got their points and this crowd over here living in a cartoon somewhere. And this crowd over here is on another stinking planet. But I notice one thing missing from all their agenda. It's God. Let me say it again. It's God. The man running number one in the polls for the Republican Party. He's so familiar with the Bible. He quoted 2 Corinthians. He said, oh, he's a great Christian. No, he's not. Well, watch it die. Y'all just getting mad. I don't care. I'm just saying we're in a mess. We need God to move in America again. There was a day in America when congressmen and senators, they stood up and prayed in Jesus' name and they quoted the Bible and they knew the Scripture. That Democratic crowd, they always pumping up Abraham Lincoln. If they knew what a scriptural man Abraham Lincoln was. They want that political side of Lincoln, but they don't want that scriptural side of Lincoln. They take the pot. I'm saying we're in a drought. Oh, I know people say, oh, the economy's bad. It ain't as bad as you think it is. McDonald's is doing well. Amen. You go to any restaurant in town tonight, you're going to stand in line. We're not in a physical famine. We may be before it's over with, but right now we're not in a physical famine. America's doing better than most countries on the face of this planet. But spiritually, we're in bad shape in America. We're living in a day when it's against the law. When it's against the law to put the 10 commandments on the wall of a courthouse. A courthouse is a house of law, but yet they don't want the law on the wall. See, it's kind of hard for a shyster lawyer to defend a murderer when it says on the wall above his head, thou shalt not kill. I'm just saying we're in a drought in America. My wife and I were listening to the radio going up to New Manna on Friday, and I had it on XM on that Enlightenment channel, the Southern Gospel, and we were listening and we heard an old song. I forgot what it was, but she said, that reminds me of every Sunday morning while we were getting ready for church. There was some programs that came on TV. Y'all remember what they were? And it was singing on Sunday morning. You cut the TV off, and anybody remember the name of those? Gospel Jubilee. Thank you. The gospel singing jubilee. I'm telling you, man, we're in a drought. We're in a time of drought. And whose fault is it? It's our fault. It's our fault that we're in a drought. There is a spiritual famine in our country. You say, what happened? What caused this drought? What caused these dry wells in Isaac's day? Well, let me simply say, the enemy. In our scripture we read, the Bible said that the Philistines stopped the wells. Do you know what that means? They filled them up. They filled them up. If you want to stop your enemy, cut off his water supply. I was reading some stuff. I love Western and I love cowboy stuff, but I was reading some stuff about the old range wars in the West back years ago before they had the fences and all that. Do you know how the cattleman would defeat another rancher? Usually it was the big cattle company that would drive out the little guy. You know what they'd do? They'd cut off his water supply. If his cattle did not have water, it didn't matter if the alfalfa was that tall. If the cattle didn't have water, they'd die. And the devil figured it out years ago. Hey, if I can cut the water off from the churches, if I can cut the water supply off, if we can stop up the well, we'll stop this move of fundamentalism in America. If we can just stop these wells. What wells? That well, like that little lady at Sychar's, that well, Sychar's well that day, who left with a well of water springing up into her, into everlasting life. Hey, I'm telling you, the devil has come along in our homes and in our churches, and he stopped up the wells where water used to flow. Let me tell you something. There was a time in this town when almost every church in almost every denomination preached what we're preaching this morning. There was a day in America when there wasn't a gnat's hair between a Methodist and a Presbyterian and a Baptist. Some of the greatest preachers that brought revival in America were not Baptists. Swallow real hard. D.L. Moody. Everybody talks about D.L. Moody and the Moody Bible Institute. Moody wasn't a Baptist. He's a Congregationalist. Y'all okay? But something's happened. Something's happened. Hey, you think for one second, them kids going to come in here, I'm telling you, they're going to come in here shouting tonight. They're going to come in here praising God. You think the devil likes that? We had at least six bus kids from troubled homes. Messed up situations. Families don't know God. These kids got born again this weekend. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to say, get a shovel, get a shovel. We got to stop up this well. Before this water flows any further, we got to put a stop to this. And that's what the devil did in Isaac's day. The enemy came in and filled up the well. Let me ask you a question. Maybe there was a time in your life when the spiritual well bubbled and flowed. But what have you allowed to stop it up? What stopped your well? A broken relationship? Finances? Home? Stacy, bring me your phone. Pull that picture up. Hurt feelings? You know which one I'm talking about? About the hurt feelings. Hurt feelings. I know people who have cut God out of their life because of something somebody else did. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about the one that's got the road in the background. People have cut God out of their lives because of something somebody put on Facebook. How petty. Did people save you? Did people go to the cross and shed their blood and die for you? Did people save your soul from hell? Was it the blood of people that cleansed your sin? No, sir. Let me tell you something. That's the one. This little text right here said, if being hurt by the church causes you to lose faith in God, then your faith was in people, not God. If people cause you to lose your faith in God, then your faith wasn't in God, it was in people to begin with. And I'm going to tell you, my God, it's not in a Ken Dean, it's not in a Robbie Mooney, it's not in a Todd Thompson, it's not even in a Sandra Newsom. My faith and my hope is in Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. The enemy's come. What has stopped up your way? I've watched people this morning praising God. Miss Nina started singing, How Great Thou Art. I saw tears running down faces. I saw hands raised. But then I saw people sitting there just like you. What's your well full of? I grew up on my grandfather's farm. We had an old well. And we had a well house. And that old well had a windlass over it. Most people don't even know what that is. Yeah. And that windlass had a rope on it and a handle and a bucket. And you could slide that concrete lid off top of that well and drop that bucket and that thing go whirr, and you could hear it hit the bottom. I love to play in that thing better than I love to eat. I got more whoopings for playing in that well. Granny would say, get out of there. You're going to fall in that well. I wanted to. Honest for God, I wanted to get in that bucket and write it down. Let somebody crank me up. But boy, you could drop that bucket down there and hear that thing splash. Wait just a second and go to winding it up. And you get to the top. That'd be the purest, clearest, cleanest water. They were just something about that water that come out of that well. But if we're not careful, wells can become contaminated. The enemy, hey, our kids are coming home excited tonight. You know what the devil does? He wants to contaminate their well. He wants to contaminate their well. They'll go back to school and their goth friends. Y'all listen to me. And all this demonic stuff that's going on in America. Hey, we got teenagers in our church that's fooling around with demonic stuff. That's dangerous, man. You better watch your kids drawing all them pentagrams and all that stuff. Hey, that's the devil trying to stop up the well. There's a drought in America. There's no doubt about it. Some of the most famous church, one of the most famous churches in America, their focus is not Jesus. Their focus is self. Self-betterment. Self-improvement. Self has never bettered self. Self has never improved self. Only Jesus will improve self. There's a drought in America. A drought. But then thank God, in the midst of the drought, somebody made a decision. Somebody made a decision. If we're going to stop the spiritual drought in America, it's not going to be fixed in November in the election. It can be fixed on the altar in the house of God this morning when we decide no more, no more. Nobody's filling up our well. We're going to make a decision. The Bible said, and Isaac digged again. Now here's our problem. The wells dry up. The enemy fills up the well. And here's our thought, Brother Chris. Let's dig some new wells. Let's dig some new wells. That old bus route stuff, it ain't working no more. Them gospel tracts and that soul winning, it's so archaic, King James Bible. We're just living in new times and people just not accepting that old stuff. We need to dig some new wells. That's what we're doing. Amen. This old amazing grace and how great thou art. We need some new wells. Our kids are only going to... They're only going to respond to this kind of new age Christian music. Be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Be here tonight at 6 o'clock. There was a decision made. Somebody said, we got to have water. Isaac, we got to dig some new wells. He said, no, we don't need new wells. You see that well full of junk right there? There's good water down there. I remember when I was a boy, I drank good water out of that well. We don't need a new well. We need to clean that well. We don't need new wells. We don't need new methods. We don't need new ideas. We don't need new ways and new music and new Bibles. We need to clean out the wells we've got. Somebody told me just the other day, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I just don't feel anything anymore. Your well's full of garbage. Your well's full of garbage. A place we had leased years ago where we deer hunted. And some of y'all might get a little offended with me right here, but we hunt. Say it again, we hunt. We have a motto, if it's brown, it's down. If it's flying, it's dying. If it's swimming, it's frying. Amen. We hunt. That's food, brother. Amen. But on that property where we hunted, the coyotes were bad. So we had a rule, you can't gut your deer in the woods and just leave it. But we had an old well on the property. So what we did, there was no water, and we'd go dump that stuff in that old well. I wouldn't want to drink out of a well where somebody had been dumping old carcasses, would you? That old well was in foul shape. That old well, if it had water in it, wouldn't nobody want to drink it? But if anybody's ever going to get any refreshment out of that well again, it takes some serious cleaning. Yeah. Amen. I remember a neighbor of ours back when I was a kid. Actually, it was, I think Brother Roger was over around your house somewhere. I remember him telling about somebody getting mad at him and throwing a dead chicken in their well. Messed up everything. The enemy came by. You know what they had to do? But it required some work, but they had to clean out that well. If they was going to have water to eat and water to drink and water to wash, they had to get that dead chicken out of that well. Some of us got a dead chicken in our well. Somebody been dumping deer guts in our well while we wasn't looking. Amen. Isaac said, I tell you what we're going to do. We ain't digging new wells. We're not going and hunting a new thing. We're going to dig out them old wells. Amen. My little grandmother told me that's the word of God. And if it was the word of God then, it's the word of God now. I don't need to join the Bible of the Month Club. Did you know the homosexual society has their own Bible now? Do you know, you want to know what a mockery they make of God? You know what they call it? The Queen James Bible. That's not a joke, that's for real. So I have a hard time understanding that Bible. I do too. But I got a Holy Spirit that shines light and opens His Word. There was the decision. Isaac stood and he said, hey, there's something in the way. There's something bothering us. There's something affecting, keeping us from getting the water we need. And he had a burden. It's going to start with a burden. Hey, let's dig some wells. Let's dig out some wells. There had to be some rubbish removed. We need to remember the wells of our Father. I remember growing up as a little boy at White Oak Springs, hearing women laying in the altar. I remember Jean Williams laying in the altar. Her husband was our pastor. They're both in heaven now. And Brother Charles, before he would preach, I remember Sister Jean, she'd lay in that altar and she'd pray and she'd put her little hands above her head and she'd pray, oh God, touch him, Lord. Oh God, fill him with your power. And she was praying for her husband. Then he'd get up and preach like the house was on fire. We need to get back to those days when the people of God prayed and the people of God had a burden for lost family and when people had a burden for the community and their co-workers and their friends. Hey, let's dig the trash out of the wells. I'll be honest with you. As your pastor, I'm not perfect. Every now and then the devil comes by and chunks something in my well. But it takes constant work to keep that well clean. Amen. But it takes a decision. Somebody needs to say, hey, I'm not looking for an old well, a new well. I'm going to dig out that old well. I'm going to get in that altar this morning. I'm going to ask God to clean out my well. Hey, you remember when you got saved? You know what that precious feeling was? That excitement was? It was fresh, living water in you. And the devil's come along and contaminated the well with every, I could name thousands of things, but you know what it is. You know what your well's full of this morning. Have you got a desire? Hey, there was a drought and then there was a decision. Remember that prodigal son? He was out there in that far country about to eat with the hogs. That's a bad deal for a Jew. They couldn't even touch a hog, much less eat with them. And this little boy made a decision. He said, I will arise and go to my Father. Somebody ought to make a decision and said, hey, I may be in a drought, but I'm making a decision this morning. I'm going to that altar and I'm going to start getting that well cleaned out. Listen, it's not just you that dry well is affecting. It's your family and your children. Yesterday morning, my daughter, my grandson, my son-in-law went to the altar. My wife and I got down there behind them in the altar. My son got down behind us in the altar and our family was down there praying. Those children were there in that altar because of what we have. And if we let our well dry up, it's their well and it'll dry up. Hey, we got to keep the well clean and the water flowing. Here at Old Happy Valley. Somebody said our church is getting too big. We supposed to just let people die and go to hell? It's going to get bigger. If we had money, it'd get bigger real quick because we'd knock these walls out of here. We'd do something. It can get bigger in stages like it is. It can get bigger and stay full of the power and the Spirit of God. We just got to keep the garbage dump out of the well. There was a drought. There was a decision. Then, thank God, there was a discovery. There was a discovery. Look at verse number... I ain't even in my scripture. Somebody read verse number 18. Good and loud. Good and loud, Brother Ken. You got it? Read that thing good and loud. Listen. 19.
And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water.
You know what they found out? It's still there. It's still there. You know what it was, Brother Chris? It was there all along. The water never dried up. The water never went away. It just got covered up after layer after layer after layer of the junk and the trouble and the trial and the sin and the trash of this world. But the water was still there. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit ain't dead this morning. God's still on His throne, and He's still saving sinners, and He's still changing life. The water's still there. And you could discover that this morning, just like Isaac's servants did. He said he digged again the wells of his father, and they found there a well of springing water. Isaac knew in his heart that under the mud and under the muck and whatever else them Philistines had put in that well, there was life-giving water. His burden was subsided by the bubbling of fresh water. Do you know how good it did your pastor's heart Friday night, Saturday morning especially, to watch your kids and my kids? I saw some go to the altar. I've never been to the altar. I looked up one time and I poked my wife, and there came my niece. She's bashful and shy. She don't never come to the altar. And she had my other niece by the hand. And there come Nicolette and Autumn. Both of them big old tears rolling down their face. I said, hallelujah. There's still water in the well. Thank God it ain't dried up. It still works, and it's still there if we want it. Let's don't let our wells get dried up and it affect our children. Let's uncork them this morning. How long's it been since you longed for that water? How long's it been since you... I'm talking about that spiritual water. You ain't going to get it from boot, scoot, and boogie. Y'all all right?
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to get it from all this worldly junk that they're pumping into our children's ears and their hearts. It's a well of springing water. Keep them under the right kind of preaching. Amen. Be at home what you are at church. Don't just exalt Christ when you get here. Exalt Him on Sunday morning. On Monday morning. Not just Sunday morning. Amen. Let Him be God every day in your life. Hey, let's dig out them old wells this morning. Hey, some of you that are grown now, you used to sing in the youth choir. Me and Chris been around, we've been dealing with teenagers most of our adult lives. We've seen them grow up in our youth choirs. I'm glad we're together now. We've seen them grow up in our youth choirs, get married and have babies, divorce, and their lives are a wreck and they're out of church. I remember when they used to worship God. I remember when they used to testify like Sister Jennifer did this morning. Tears rolled down their face. What happened? The devil came and filled the well up. What happened? Life. Life. You know what? The Holy Spirit's still bigger than life. Our God's still bigger than everything this world's got to offer, and He's still better than everything this world has to offer. Y'all come get us a song this morning. Our fathers, our grandfathers, our grandmothers, they found whales in this old book. They found whales in the church of the living God. There was a day in our country when things were more simple and things were more pure. My wife recorded some old TV shows she loved. Y'all remember the TV show Hazel? About the maid. She recorded I don't know how many episodes of Hazel, and we was watching Hazel the other night, and I just got tickled. I thought, you know how boring that'd be to most young people in America? You never show anybody in the bed together. You never hear a foul word. Are you listening? Somebody's come along and filled up our wells. As adults, we need to get our shovels out this morning. And they say, God, with your help, we're going to dig the trash out of this well. Let's stand our feet this morning.